Well, tonight I want to begin with that story. I want to begin with the events of Jeremiah 42 and 43. Well, first of all, we were reminded that Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, had carried away a vast number of the Jews into exile, and he had destroyed Jerusalem and the temple. And having taken them away, he left in the land only a small number of the poorest of the people. And he put over them a man called Gedaliah. And Gedaliah was murdered by a man called Ishmael. And Ishmael fled to the Ammonites, and they were left under the care of this man called Yohanan ben Kareach. And you may have picked up from the reading that they were afraid. They were afraid. They were afraid that Nebuchadnezzar would come back and attack them again. And so, Yohanan, their leader, as you saw, he asked Jeremiah the prophet a question. He didn't ask him what his opinion was. He wasn't asking Jeremiah for his opinion. He wanted to know the word of the Lord. The question was, should we stay in Judah or should we go down into Egypt? That was the question. What does the Lord say, Jeremiah? And you will have seen that they came to Jeremiah. Now let me say this about this. Remember that Jeremiah had been a prophet among them. At this time, his ministry had probably lasted about 41 years. He had ministered for many years. But there's something else you should remember about Jeremiah. He was also a priest of the Lord. And under the law of Moses, they were told to go and inquire of the priests. And they were warned in Deuteronomy 17 that when the priest delivered to them the judgment of God, they had to obey it or they would die. This was a very, very serious matter. Nothing about opinion, good advice, God's commandment to them. And you saw that Jeremiah gave them the answer. And after 10 days, he asked the question, and the Lord delayed the answer for 10 days. And there's something significant in that delay, which you'll pick up later. The answer was, stay in Judah. Do not go to Egypt. That was the answer. And you would have heard at the beginning of chapter 43 how they responded to the word of the Lord through Jeremiah. They basically stood up and said, "You're lying to us. You speak falsely." After all their promises to listen and do, they say, "No, you're lying to us." And the Bible says, they did not obey the word of the Lord. Their response was entirely to reject the word of the Lord. And they did the very opposite. I have never quite got over reading this chapter when I realized that not only did they go into Egypt, but they took Jeremiah with them. And his scribe, Baruch. And they went as far as a place called Tachpanches. And if you look at the map, you'll realize that if you look at Egypt, you'll see the Nile Delta. I mean, the river Nile flows into the delta. And Tachpanches is right on the edge of Egypt, near Judah. They didn't go deep into Egypt. They just went into the edge of Egypt. So they disobeyed the Lord. And the last thing we read was that God told Jeremiah to take large stones and hide them in the brick pavement. And their pavements were made of bricks, so it would be relatively easy to lift the bricks, dig a hole, put the stones in, and put the bricks back. And the word was, the Lord would bring Nebuchadnezzar, and he would put his throne on that very spot, and he would attack them and destroy them in Egypt. In other words, now, we know that actually happened. We know that happened. Not only do we know it happened from the Bible, but historians outside the Bible have recorded that Nebuchadnezzar did come. And it didn't take long for him to get there either. So there we are. This is what the Bible tells us about that event in the history of God's people. Now, why am I reading this? Why have I presented this story to you, this narrative, this series of events? Because you see, in this chapter, these chapters, you see people who have hardened their heart. That's what you're seeing, people who have hardened their heart. Did you notice that they refused to hear? Did you notice that they judged the word of God to be false? Did you notice that they rejected it? Did you notice that they would not submit to God's word? Did you notice that they did not even desire it? They did not resolve to stay in Judah. They did not desire to be there, not even under the Lord's blessing. They went against the word of the Lord. This is one example of many in the Bible of people who have hardened their heart against the Lord and his word. Now, think about it for a minute. You let your mind run over what you know of the Bible. Is it not true that there are many other examples? Are there not many examples of those who have hardened their heart? Would you say that Eve in the Garden of Eden hardened her heart by the temptations of Satan against the word of the Lord? What about Esau, who rejected his birthright, who rejected all that God had given him? And then, what about Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, when Moses went to speak to him? In Exodus, the early chapters of Exodus, we keep reading, Pharaoh hardened his heart. Pharaoh hardened his heart and would not listen. He would not listen to the word of God through Moses. Pharaoh hardened his heart. The Bible takes us to the generation of Israelites who came out of Egypt. And you can read about them, and you have read about them, in Numbers chapters 13 and 14. And in Hebrews chapters 3 and 4, a generation that hardened its heart against the Lord and fell in the wilderness. They could not enter in. What? Because of unbelief. And where am I going with this tonight? What I am leading you to is this, that there are opposites here in Scripture. There is believing, and there is hardening the heart. Or there is faith, and there is unbelief. There's two sides of this divide. Some believe, many harden their hearts. Some have faith, many perish in unbelief. Paul in Romans, Paul reflects on the fact that the gospel came to the Jews. They were given Christ. They were given his word. It was explained to them who he was and what he had come to do, to save them from their sins. And Paul says, that Israel, given Christ, they didn't obtain what they sought. What did they seek? They sought righteousness before God. They wanted to be righteous before God, but they didn't obtain it. They didn't obtain it. He says, the elect did. Some did. Some believed. Some Jews believed and did obtain the righteousness that comes through faith in Jesus Christ. But he said, the rest were hardened. The rest were hardened. If you look at your translation in Romans 11:7, you will see it says, the rest were blinded. But the word there, I don't know why they translated it blinded, because the word is hardened. Many were hardened from receiving the Lord Jesus Christ. The elect obtained, the rest were blinded. Now, there we are. For some weeks, when I have preached on a Sunday evening, I have been looking at the subject of faith. And if you cast your mind back, you will remember that from the very beginning, I pointed out in the Bible that faith is necessary. Faith is vital. In Hebrews 11:6, we are told that without faith, it is impossible to please God. In John 3:16, when Nicodemus comes to Jesus, he says to him, let me read it to you. Look. John 3, listen. He says this. For God so loved the world, do I need to read this to you, that he gave his only begotten Son, what? That whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Can you see that on faith turns perishing or everlasting life? If you believe, you will have everlasting life. If you believe in Christ, you will have the forgiveness of your sins and be received by God for eternity as his child. But if you do not believe, you will perish. You will perish. Somewhere in Scripture it says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. That's the message of the gospel. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you notice the word? Believe. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. And if you will not believe in him, if you do not believe in him, you will be lost. That's what the gospel says. Warning to you. You will be lost if you do not believe. In other words, if you harden your heart against the word of God, you will be lost. It's so black and white. It's so plain. He says there, for God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Condemned or saved. He who believes in him is not condemned. What's he saying? He's saying, if you believe in Christ, if you have placed your trust in him, if you have received the word of God and the promises of God concerning his Son, and you have leaned on Jesus, if you have done that, you will not be condemned. When will you be condemned if you have not? This condemnation is an anticipation of the great day of judgment. Men and women, boys and girls, will stand before the judgment seat of Christ one day. And some will be acquitted. Some will hear the words, come, well done, come, you blessed. But others will be condemned and sent away into a lost eternity where the fire cannot be quenched. That's what the scripture says about those who are condemned. They are dispatched to hell where the fire cannot be quenched. I ask you for a moment to think about an enduring torment of soul. As you remember and understand and see your guilt before God and the fact that He has not forgiven you and He has frowned upon you and does not want you in His presence because you hardened your heart against the Lord Jesus Christ and against the gospel. You will have everlasting life or you will perish. It hangs on faith or the hardening of the heart. Now, secondly, tonight I say to you, over the last few weeks, I've tried to set out before you the kind of process that goes on in the heart when the Holy Spirit is forming faith. Faith is a gift of God. The Spirit of God comes and He creates faith in the heart. But in the heart where faith is created, a process takes place. Maybe some of you will remember the steps that I've laid out. I will repeat them for the last time tonight. First of all, there is hearing the word. Without hearing, there is nothing. Without knowledge of God, you are lost. If you do not hear the word, you will perish. There is hearing. There has to be thinking about it. There has to be thinking that comes to understanding where you, it's described as seeing. I see. And you are required by God to judge His word. He asks you the question, is it true or is it false? What do you say? Christ asked this and He said, who do you say that I am? What do you say about me? And this must then flourish into accepting and agreeing with and being persuaded of what God has said. And it must go further than that. It has to come into submitting to the word and even desiring the word and resolving to live by it. These steps, and someone might say, well, I can think of others. You may well. But the process must go on. And the Holy Spirit leads a man through these steps, so to speak, to bring him to the point where he is resting on Christ. And what I want to say to you tonight, very briefly, is that the hardening of the heart is a mirror of that in the opposite direction. Just as faith is built through those steps or created through those steps, so the hardening of the heart comes, if you like, by those steps being met with a no. Will you hear? No. Will you think about it? No. Will you understand it? No. No. Will you judge it true? No, as they said, you lie. You lie. Will you accept the word of God? No, I will not. Will you agree with it? No, I disagree with it. Are you persuaded? No, I am persuaded against it. Will you submit to it? Will you receive it? No. Do you desire it? No. Are you resolved to follow Christ, to live by that word? No, no, no. The hardening of the heart is a great no to God. You know, you think about the words, hardening the heart. Think about a piece of ground. Some of us are good gardeners, some of us aren't. But if you've ever lifted up a fork and spade, you'll know that soft ground is easy to sow seed in, isn't it? You just get your fork and you lift the soil, dig it slightly, put the seed in. Soft ground receives the seed. A soft heart receives the word of God. But stones You can't plant seeds in stones. And you can't, the Word of God does not go into the stony heart. It's a fearful thing to have a stony heart before the Word of God. There are places in Scripture which say that the people made their faces like flint. And no matter how much the servants of God preached, they weren't getting it. There are places in Scripture which describe the people of God like a horse that has stiffened its neck. You know, the rider is pulling the reins to try to steer the horse one way or the other. But the muscles of the horse's neck are hard and it will not turn. There's a fight going on between the rider and the horse. And God uses that language of his people. He says, you are a stiff-necked people. And really, it's another way of describing the hardening of the heart. So I want to close by asking you tonight, all of you, what is the condition of your heart? What is going on in your heart? Have you got a soft and tender heart? Or all along, are you resisting the Holy Spirit pushing against God's Word? What is your relationship to the Word of God, to God Himself, and to Jesus Christ? The Bible warns the Christians, listen to these words. Today, if you will hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. Those are all from Hebrews 3. What's the writer saying? There was a generation that hardened its heart. And the result of that is they never entered the promised land. And if you do that, if you harden your heart, you will never enter heaven. You will never enter the presence of God. There is all along, Scripture is telling you, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. Believe in Him. Do not harden your hearts. And I hope I've said enough from this pulpit over these weeks to give you something to think about faith, and more than that, something to think about of the processes that you should go through from start to finish, from hearing to resolving and obeying. James says, faith without works is dead, being alone. If it doesn't translate into a life for Christ, it's not faith, it's not saving faith. Well, I hope I've said enough to warn you against hardening your heart. I pray that God will save us all from being dull hearers and disobedient children. And instead, fix our minds on Christ and know Him and so have eternal life. Amen.